Okay. Moving right along, Stefan Kraka. We'll take it from here.
Ladies and gentlemen, my contribution is entitled Creative Cities and the Rise of the Dealer Class. During the sessions of this day, I've got the impression that large parts of my contribution are addressing a public outside this conference room, a public which is not yet convinced by the concepts of critical urban theory. So let me start. A particular challenge to critical urban theory is the fact that all the time new urban growth ideologies are entering the public debate, which are crowding out the insights and recommendations of critical urban theorists. In recent time, Richard Florida's creative class concept, which deals with a particular set of regional success factors, has got a quite positive reception among politicians and regional scientists outside the critical urban theory scene. We should ask why this theory has so much success. Let me give you 3 points. Firstly, it is perceived as containing clear theoretical statements. Secondly, it is perceived as giving empirical evidence on these statements. And thirdly, it delivers a receptory for practical action. Particularly on the German, on the urban level in Germany, Florida's concept is being taken as a message of hope and a guidance to future successful development. Florida's theory, of course, can be criticized with regard to its concept of class and capitalist development and its poor recognition of relevant urban economic development factors. However, the success of this concept indicates a rise of uncritical urban theory. My contribution here shall take up this challenge and firstly concentrates on the deconstruction of the notion of a creative class. Secondly, on the basis of my research on the regional distribution of diverse occupational groups in Germany, I'm going to emphasize the empirical analysis finding that the dealer class, or in Florida's terms, the creative professionals, does not at all have a significant impact on the urban region's success in developing sustainable economic structures. You might know Florida's approach starts from the assumption that creativity is becoming an increasingly important resource of economic development. On the basis of a particular delimitation of the creative class, Florida demonstrated that this class is characterized by a highly unequal distribution within the United States regional system, and that those cities which show a strong concentration of the creative class are revealing a particularly successful development in high technology sectors. According to this line of argumentation, urban economic prosperity today above all depends on technology, talent, and tolerance. The theory of the creative class offers the recommendation to political decision makers to take care of providing a high quality of living and leisure amenities for the creative class members, since this group might attract further creative activities and thus lead to successful regional economic development. My main point of critique now, Florida's theory of the creative class is characterized by a highly affirmative conception of the contemporary class society. By using a rather nebulous idea of creativity, Florida presents a concept of social classes which is based on arbitrary assignments and supports a self-idealization of certain occupational groups in terms of neoliberal agents of achievement ideologies. Florida doesn't care about the difficulties of an accurate delimitation of creative activities in view of the fact that in contemporary industrial societies, nearly all occupational groups are subject to a certain mix of creative and simply executive tasks. technologically advanced manufacturing processes would sooner or later run into severe disturbances if a large share of people with industrial manufacturing occupations did not possess of a highly developed tacit knowledge and creative problem-solving capacities in dealing with complex manufacturing facilities and organizational procedures. Furthermore, as Roger Kyle has pointed out, creativity is also the working poor's major resource for survival in the diverse worlds of urban worlds of today's capitalism. As a second point, let me emphasize that with regard to its policy implications, Florida theory is suitable as a justification ideology for urban restructuring measures in favor of certain functional elites of the neoliberal model of society, that is, for gentrification and various real estate development measures. Florida's delimitations of a creative class are highly questionable with regard to the internal subgroups of this social construct. In the context of regional analysis, it might be reasonable to characterize occupational groups which are engaged in research and development as the group of scientifically and technologically creative employees, and to regard the particular regional and urban concentrations of these people as a plausible factor of the region's innovation capacities and economic development. Secondly, also, the delimitation of a distinct group of artistically creative occupations seems reasonable in the context of research on the cultural economy of cities or on the role of specific cultural scenes in urban and regional development. However, it doesn't seem justified to mix these groups together with Florida's third group of creative professionals in order to create the highly stylized aggregate of a creative class. Exactly at this point, Florida transforms his approach to a strongly affirmative conception of today's class society. This statement shall be further clarified. In contemporary capitalism, the creative professionals of the finance and real estate business do not at all have the supposed function of being creative applicators of knowledge which are supporting economic development. Rather, this occupational group represents the rise of the dealer class in a finance-dominated and increasingly speculation-driven model of capitalist development. The financial sector has no longer a simply supporting function. It has rather become the dominating and driving force of a new capitalist model of development whose influence is spreading to all spheres and subsectors of the economy. The social agents of the finance sector are indeed continuously creating financial innovations and new financial products. However, these financial innovations, as we are seeing now, and we have seen before, they have repeatedly led to a destabilization of economic development in the Western industrialized countries and beyond, and they are damaging the development potential and innovation capacity of the manufacturing sectors. In a nutshell, the dealer economy of the neoliberal model of capitalist development constitutes a threat to economic development. We have to take note of the increasing number of financial crises within the last decade and consider the analysis of the destructive functional mechanisms of financial markets in order to realize the affirmative character of ascribing the finance and real estate business professionals to a creative class. The dealer economy just today, is triggering off an economic crisis which will cause worldwide a damage of extraordinary dimensions. Today, the neoliberal model of a deregulated casino capitalism has proved to damage economic development all over the world. And this actual crisis also makes its mark on the other sectors of the economy, since which means an impairment of growth and innovation activity, as well as huge job losses in all these sectors. Furthermore, as we have heard today already, in such crisis situations, the neoliberal market apologists are always crying for state intervention and in most cases manage to push through a socialization of losses at the expense of the citizens in order to save their collapsing banks and other financial sector firms. In a nutshell, regarding the functionaries of the neoliberal dealer economy as part of a creative class demonstrates a far-reaching ignorance of the functioning of contemporary capitalism. The rise of the dealer class, however, also includes other occupational groups of Florida's creative professionals. In a finance-dominated model of capitalist development, decisive functions of bringing the economy and the private sector firms into line with the principles of shareholder value and the logic of financial investment deals are performed by the occupational groups of legal and business consulting and the manager class. Under the pressure of financial investors, the management practices of a dealer economy have already spread to the firms of the basic manufacturing and service sectors at the expense of far-sighted and innovation-orientated models of business development. The critique of Florida's conception of a creative class comes to the result that this questionable aggregate should be cleared out. We claim that the group of high-ranked professionals of finance and real estate business management and consulting does not represent a relevant driver of regional economic success, as, for example, compared to the productive impact of scientifically and technologically creative occupations and others. This thesis can be tested empirically by analyzing the impact of diverse occupational groups on the various dimensions of regional economic success, which cannot be reduced to growth in high technology sectors. For example, successful economic development of regions or cities could be firstly related to the overall development of a region's or city's employment figures. And secondly, with regard to structural change, it could be related to a growth of employment, particularly in knowledge-intensive economic activities. Let me shortly present you one selected finding of my empirical research. And those who like empirical figures and statistical things, there is one supplementary sheet of paper where you get these results and can have a further look. So the result is, in the German regional system, there is a strong and significant interrelation between the share of knowledge-intensive manufacturing activities and the share of scientifically and technologically creative occupations, representing the independent variable. Thus, a regional concentration of scientifically and technologically creative workers has a significantly positive effect on the region's economic development potential. By contrast, there is no significant relation between the share of knowledge-intensive manufacturing activities and the share of skilled professionals of financial business management and consulting. Thus, the regional distribution of the dealer class, in Florida's terms, again, the creative professionals, does not at all have a significant impact on the region's success in developing sustainable economic structures. On the basis of the foregoing analysis, we can emphasize that there is no justification for urban restructuring measures in favor of certain functional elites of the neoliberal model of society. The development of a sustainable regional economy, supported by a highly networked regional innovation system and its various human resources, is not at all dependent on gentrification and real estate development projects for the socially selective enhancement of urban areas' attractivity. Now, my general conclusion. Critical urban theory should actively take on the challenge posed by the repeatedly new emerging urban growth ideologies. Currently, the notion of creative cities based on Florida's creative class concept has a leading position, A critique of such ideologies and concepts should not be reduced to the uncovering of their functional role in shaping urban growth strategies. I think additionally, we need to employ empirical research on urban economic development in order to yield a convincing rejection of neoliberal urban growth theories and concepts. And that's it from my side. Thank you.